carry much further. I don't wanna have to go where you don't follow. I won't hold it back again. This passion inside can't run from myself. There's nowhere to hide. Well, don't make me cry one more door. I don't wanna hurt anymore. Stay in my arms if you dare. Must I imagine you there? Don't walk away from me.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning out there, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. As Francis so announces, this is a wonderful day. Right here in Hawaii, and absolutely beautiful. And everybody on the mainland, too, actually having some good weather. And then the debate goes on. Is it global warming or is it just warm in here? Anyway, things are happening, and hope everybody's safe back there in my home state and up near my relatives there. Some major turbulent weather, but everybody's okay. It happens, and this is what the earth does, what happens on the earth. But anyway, If you'd like to call in, 524-1080 is the number. I had intended last week to have those of you call in and talk about things, especially the rail. If you got any new information or information you think that is pertinent, that would in fact move the ball or get a little better explanation, feel free to call. The homeless issue, one would think that it's resolved now. You know, we all had a truce and everyone brought Christmas presents to the homeless and those things, but the real Christmas present would be to have a good system that addresses this once and for all, not fearing that we're going to be socialists or too kind. We're going to make lazy people if we give them anything. We should adopt this attitude, the right to life, and meaning food, water, and a place to rest your head should be a guarantee for human beings. But instead, we're challenged. We seem to be motivated that when we see people not home, not with a house or things, we want to punish them or banish them for not, and we don't bother to incorporate their situation. What contributed? How did they get here? What happened? So it would really be good if we were able to start caring. But anyway, there's all kinds of things that we've talked about over the year, and many of you have contributed, and I have to say thank all of you for just... I'm astounded at the number of people that I come across out there on the street that would go, you know, oh, you're Carol Cox. I recognize that voice. So I hope that, you know, we're not trying to entertain you and in the best form or fashion that I can present it, and keeping it simple, is to bring to you something new. Give to you examples, so as I've always said, so that you can use that information, be informed as best we can, and seeing through the nonsense, the lies, the trickery that's put forth by businesses, government, and what have you. Caller, good morning. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead. Caller, go ahead with your comment. Well, I guess we didn't learn patience last year, but anyway, I'll call back if you'd like to. So, this situation that we're in, good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of hard to solve any problems politically, it seems. It seems from where I see it, wherever a buck is attached to a political concept, then the people who need the service aren't going to get it, period. They're just not going to get it. It's impossible for people who don't understand the problem to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
And you say homelessness. Well, see, we have a prison industrial complex too.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a motive to keep people, and they also use the homeless situation as a threat to everybody that's working. Mm-hmm. They say, hey, if you don't go to your job, if you don't put up with everything you're told, you can end up there. See, they create that cycle of fear and embarrassment, and, you know, and in the process, you get that. And then the politicians will be the ones trying to solve a problem. They can't even solve the bathroom problem.
Mm-hmm.
They can't. There's not even enough bathrooms for people to go to bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can't even solve a bathroom problem, how are they going to solve a housing problem?
Well,
a social problem. You know what I mean?
You need to have some commitment. I think what, in my observations in many of these situations, it's government entities have learned to, they say it's in the interest of the people and the welfare of the nation. But what happens is that they get to managing as if with one specific thing in mind. We can't afford this. We have to cut back. Go get a job. We're going to cut back on food for the families that need it. And then you insert the rhetoric, it's not our job to raise them. You know, it's not our job to feed them. And quite naturally, how are you going to guarantee everybody's going to make $1 million a year? That's not the it's not possible, is it?
No. Then you have other elements involved when you look at it, when you look at it here too. Homelessness is big business in America. Big business, because they all come under nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly all of them come under nonprofits. So, and then you got all the jobs they create for people in the establishment, you know, people with college degrees, you know. It's not a, the only way they could solve that problem for real is that the people who are way at the top of funding any change need to live in it. They need to live in it and be treated. They need to go through, they need to undercover live in it and see how it really is. Then they can solve the problem.
Well,
unless they live in it, they'll never know.
Well, a couple of things that happen in our society, and that is, you're getting a lot of wind there. We get a lot of tax breaks for big business. So, what portion of when I see big business saying, "Well, it's not our responsibility to take care of these people. We shouldn't be taxed to support welfare programs." But just on the other hand, the first thing they do, they're invited here to what? Build buildings and have a tax exemption or a tax waiver, you call it? And so what is taxes to use to for these programs, right? For the infrastructure and what have you. So it's kind of an interesting thing. Homelessness, who's to be blamed for it? The individual that's homeless, or the government entities that say they can fix it, let me in and fix it, and then go in and embrace that policy or that philosophy of tax breaks and write-offs and what have you? How does that work?
Okay, let's look at it this way. If there was no homelessness, what would be the issue then? See?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? They don't want to solve the problem.
Yeah.
If they wanted to solve it, it could be solved in less than 7 days.
Yeah. I was thinking the other day, and how you got a lot of noise going on there. For some reason, wind blowing, or I don't know, occasionally. I hear. So anyway, you know, it's funny when we talk about homelessness and the less fortunate. Here's what happened: unions. We support the unions to say that it supports the and props up the middle class and contribute to the well-being of the American population. But in reality, unions now are following the path of bringing the jobs that mean good jobs for you, exempting a lot of people making money, and it's displacing the homeless or the people that could afford a house or what have you, and that's contributing to the...
Speaking of houses, I saw the movie The Big Short yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered if you've seen it yet.
No, I haven't.
Okay. Anyway, the whole mortgage banking industry, and that's just on the mortgage side. That's not on the renter side. The whole infrastructure of survival in America, you got to remember, it's never been equal. It's never been, like, fair. So there was always somebody living off of somebody else. That is the origin of the issue.
Living off, when you say living off someone else, someone living off...
Like the government living off the people.
Oh, okay.
Misrepresenting the people.
Mm-hmm.
You see, like I said before, unless the people at the top overtly live with the problem and see how it really is, they don't know how to change it. And then the people who do know how to change it, they're not going to let them direct it.
Yeah, but you know, the people that do the elections, I'm being bothered by the noise. I hear a lot of harsh wind going. Can you control that?
No, it's not me. It's your phone.
Okay.
I'm inside.
Okay, well, okay, maybe it's just the type of phone you have. Anyway, it's just what happens is that we vote people in, right? And I think that's where we have some control. We give it back. You follow?
Yeah, you said we vote people in.
Yeah, you don't vote.
As you know, I don't vote. For who?
Okay, well then, I'm talking about voting. You don't vote. You don't vote, huh?
I never found nobody worth voting for, to be honest with you.
Okay, so. How much, just out of curiosity,
sure.
How much credence or credibility should I lend to your comments to a conversation about voting and politicians when you don't participate in the system?
I said there's never been nobody worth voting for.
No, I know, but whatever the reason.
I didn't say I wouldn't vote.
But you don't vote.
Just show me somebody, just have somebody worth voting for.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't know if it's misplaced or whatever, but I find it difficult to accept, you know, if this is a professional opinion, I would think through and through you would participate in the voting.
For who?
Well,
give me an example. For who? Who's worth voting for?
The guy that you think will do better than the guy you think is doing bad.
See, I think that if everybody knows there is nobody, then they shouldn't vote.
Mm.
They shouldn't take the lesser of two evils just because that's all you've been given. See, that's that goes back to our original dialogue. Mm-hmm. See, the whole idea of why everything is the way it is because of corruption. We've got to stop voting for corruption.
Okay.
And just let the chips fall. You know, if there's nobody to vote for, don't vote for any of them.
So if we follow that premise and that vein of thought, what you're suggesting is that we all stop going to the polls and this system will collapse in on itself, and then we can then go do what?
Maybe a real solution will come about. But if we keep feeding a lie, then we deserve what we get.
But at what point do whose gauge, if the voters are not voting and we ascribe to what you're suggesting, if we don't vote, then when do we step back into the arena? Who's doing the monitoring and what indicators do we look for to say that, okay, it's collapsed enough now that it can't revive itself, let's get involved?
Then it needs to self-destruct.
Yeah, but I mean, at what point do we just live in chaos from then on out, or do we step up and say, okay, everything's, the coast is clear now, the jackasses and fraudulent people have gone.
They need to put people in jail who deserve to be in jail.
No, I agree with you, but I'm just trying to ask, you know, sensibly, if there was plausibility to what you're saying, when do we extract ourselves from the process? And then when do we re-engage?
When there is a real candidate.
Okay, how do
to
we
be
engage?
Elected. But now, whoever runs, the people just got to get to the point where they don't vote for nobody who ain't right, period.
I understand fully what you're saying.
And until that person emerges, just don't vote for nobody.
But
if the country collapses and self-destructs, let it self-destruct.
But if we all go inside and close the door and pull the windows down, how would we ever know that the time is right or the right person is
that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you know the difference. If you know the difference between right and wrong,
Right.
Which most of these people seem like they don't know.
Okay.
Another thing is this. We can't tolerate fraud and corruption and perjury in our personal lives.
Okay.
You see, I see the problem really as a civil problem.
Okay.
That mutates into a judicial legislative problem, because those same corrupt individuals work in the Senate, in the House of Representatives, in the White House, in the Department of Defense, in the CIA. All of these corrupt individuals makes it so it's impossible to get the society correct.
Mm-hmm. And
see, if all these people stop voting for corruption, perjury, and fraud, and let what happens happens, there could be a real society.
Well, I'm
not even living in a real society.
I'm not
supposed to be America, the best country in the world, and all this drama. But yet it's filled with corruption, fraud, and perjury.
Yeah.
From the Supreme Court to the whole system,
well,
in every branch of government.
Let me tell you.
Yeah,
that
you might have a few good people, a few good men, right?
Right.
You need the whole society. There should be no separation between the police and the citizen.
Well,
it's just too much corruption, fraud, perjury, greed, and manipulation. I mean, what you going to get out of that? If you have a family that's that way, what's going to happen?
So now you define this.
Cain's going to slew Abel.
You have
whatever, man. You know.
Hold on.
So
you hold on.
Until the corruption is gone. We can't expect nothing.
Right. Well, you've defined all of that, and you've alerted us to all of that. I'm still back at square one. So if we subscribe to what you're doing and practice that, when do we emerge out of the ashes or out of the collapse? And how? And the indicators. When?
You emerge out of it when your house is in order. In other words, if you're married and you got children, you got family members, right? And one of the family members, or 10 of them, are corrupt.
Right.
And they're just destroying your family, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? You got to deal with that.
Right. Well,
they must be removed.
Well, back to one of the things you had mentioned. I understand and accept what you're saying as a theory in your opinions, but I still think when everything else is on the table, when we consider all things possible, I'd rather go to bed in America and wake up in America.
And
you know the joy of it is? You and I can sit here and talk smack, and we can, if we got the facts and talk about our crooked politicians and the judges and all, we stand a good chance of waking up tomorrow. In other places, you don't get to do that. So I think if we are going to subscribe to what your approach, then just turn off the lights and sing Goodnight Lover, because there's nothing to be had in your philosophy.
It's going to happen anyway. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
Eventually, the country will self-destruct anyway.
No.
It's just going to be a longer fuse. It's just going to be a slow fuse. You know what I mean?
It sounds like
it will happen.
You sound like you're welcoming that. What do you?
But
do?
No. It's going to happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because look, if me and you are gangsters, right?
We're not.
I know, but if we are,
okay. All right.
But you got you got classes of gangsters.
Okay.
You got the benevolent ones that you know eventually they want to get out of it and go legit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the ones that are the diehards.
Mm-hmm.
They're the real diehards, and they just like doing dirt.
Right.
They don't care how much money they get. Like Scarface, no matter how much money you get or nothing, they still don't never want to leave that behind. Eventually, they self-destruct.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing that's going to happen to America. It's going to self-destruct. If it doesn't correct itself, it is going to self-destruct. There is no way around it.
Well, you know, nature is never stable, right? There's never an equilibrium. So when we bother ourselves with sitting around and trying to figure out that and proclaiming that America is going to fail, We're fail, destruct, fail, or, you know, I mean, let's not play word game. I mean, fail is fail, okay? So if we are preaching this, then why care? I mean, why even bother? You know, if you guaranteeing us that your theory is that it's going to self-destruct, then, and you don't participate in the voting process, could it be that we could say that you might be just, you should just go fishing and relax and eat fruit for the rest of the duration of this time until it collapses? Why invest any, why call a radio show and talk about it if you believe that it's a given that it's going to self-destruct? See, this is a gathering, my show I hope to be is a gathering place where people, we anticipate failure if we keep this path, if we don't care about one another, if we have crooked government, if we have polluters and all of that. I understand that, but this show hopefully say those of you that don't want to close the door and walk in the back room and shut the windows down and say it's going to fail anyway, that's the crew I'm talking to.
I understand you very well.
I'm not looking for the quitter.
But how can... Okay, you see the electrical system, the wires, the power system, right? Okay, in Canada, they took and put all the electrical underground. Now, you and I could see these poles rotting.
Okay.
If something is rotting, it's eventually going to self-destruct. All I'm saying is stop the rotting. But if they don't want to stop the rotting, aren't you going to just pretend that it ain't going to fall down? Eventually it's going to fall down.
Well, okay, and I agree with you, but here's the thing.
That's all I'm saying, bro.
On the other hand, you're saying, look out, it's coming, and we can prevent it, but you're saying, I don't want to participate. Hey, it's just too noisy now. You got much. I can't hear anything.
I hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. If we listen to you and buy into what you're selling there,
and don't misinterpret what I'm saying now.
No. I'm just saying that if
you're not you up to anybody, I'm saying if we don't stop it,
I agree
if
with
it
you.
Don't stop. If the people in power don't stop their insanity. It's just a matter of time before it self-destructs. Just like a serial killer.
Yeah.
Get away with it. And eventually the people who are after them, mm-hmm. they're going to slip up. Sooner or later, you get caught. The same thing with America, any other country, the Roman Empire, whoever.
But
eventually, we
can assure ourselves that you won't be one of those catching them because you're going to quit. And you've already quit.
I didn't say I was quitting. I just said I'm just looking at it the way it really is.
Well, let me ask you something.
Sure.
And thanks for taking time. It might sound to listeners out there that it's disjointed and make no sense, but you're sharing what I often hear many people say, oh, the hell with the system. I ain't voting. I ain't doing this. And it's like, well, that's like saying to hell with anything that checks and balances. We already know it's corrupt, so let's just take the last few hopes that we have and just squash it to.
No, it's called taking inventory.
How if you're missing an action? If you're not there at the polls, how are you going to take
it? Deep cover. If you're deep cover, you might think somebody might think you're missing an action. You're not. You're just deep cover. You're behind enemy lines.
I'm
speaking as if we're behind enemy lines and we must survive.
Well, we're in America and we're
go on.
We're a country of free people and we have a right to challenge things in a timely fashion. We don't have to go hide behind the scene. We can speak up now. But I'm just soliciting from you, other thoughts in that same ilk because you that vein that you speak in. I hope others have not adopted that policy to just walk away and don't vote, but then...
Vote for who?
But no.
Who is worth a vote?
Yeah, we keep talking about that. I'm just saying, I'm hoping that somewhere down the line, that as you walk along the pathways in life, you will stumble upon a golden nugget of knowledge and say to yourself, this absolutely, quitters get nothing. Get nothing. You don't finish in...
Okay, Ron Paul. When Ron Paul was trying to run for office,
right.
I would have voted for him. There's another guy that wants to run for office. What I heard on the radio one time, I would vote for him. I can't remember his name. Mm-hmm. It was this Christian guy who, man, he was saying he's willing to do all the stuff I think about. Okay. I forget his name, though. You see, the people who we could vote for and should vote for, they can't finance their campaigns. Mm-hmm. And the campaign thing is so corrupt that even if you could vote for the right person, they ain't going to make it.
You remind me
unless
of
that. Unless the people find... Okay, here's what you're asking me. I got you now. What we're really saying is that the people need to finance the campaign of the person they really want in office. But see, you got conservative, you got Republican, you got liberal, you got all this stuff, division. And I'm saying that the division is going to be the final destruction of this country. If they don't find unity and truth on the same page, it's just a matter of time. Division, always divide and conquer.
Well, that's
an old term, right?
You're trying to define life itself, and it's already been defined. I mean, I respect what you're saying. If anything that has no checks and balances is going to collapse. Hold on.
Good. Yes, sir.
Caller, good morning. Thank you for waiting. Okay, they disappeared. But anyway, the idea is that if I were you, I would. This is how I view what you're saying. You are a guy who is a critic of food critic, and we ask you to tell us about this restaurant, and you say you don't like it, you won't eat it, da 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 da. And then come to learn, you've never been there. So how can we trust anything you say when you quit in the voting process?
Because you have your own internal truth. Internal truth will tell you if I'm a liar or you have your own navigational system. You know the truth. These people know the truth. Are they that deluded?
Mm-hmm.
Are they really that deluded and self-deluded and schizophrenic to the point where they can't distinguish what's real anymore? Maybe they are.
Well, okay.
I'm not one of them.
Well, no, maybe not. But anyway, well, I appreciate you calling in and talking.
Okay.
But try to, you know, if you believe that you shouldn't participate in the voting system, and
don't for who?
But no, I understand. You keep going that if you believe that.
I want that to be clear. Show me somebody worth voting for.
Well. How?
Show me.
How and
anybody.
When and what? I mean, you're asking for something.
No,
that's
not I'm not saying you personally.
No.
I'm just saying, show me anybody really worth voting for.
At what point? And I'm sure this is something you've thought about all your life. At what point did you arrive at this juncture?
I arrived at this juncture when I was 18 years old. That's why I didn't go to school to be a lawyer.
Okay.
Because I realized how corrupt everything was. You understand? So I didn't see no use in lying to myself.
Okay, but there were other things. I mean, you were so destined to be committed to be a lawyer that you just decided to give up on the voting just because the world is corrupt.
No, I never found anybody worth voting for.
At what point, let me ask, just out of curiosity now,
sure.
You don't have to, I'm not picking at you, but
I
hear this so many times, and it's like, maybe that's something we all need to address because there are an army of people that say the same things you do, that I just don't participate. But then they have advice for those that do participate. It's like, well, gee. So whenever did you ever vote? Have you ever voted?
I just told you I would have voted for Ron Paul.
No. Listen to what I'm asking.
Yes.
As an individual person, as an adult that was legally able to vote. You ever voted? Never voted.
Never.
Okay.
Never.
So you never voted. Have you ever registered to vote?
If I'm not going to vote, why would I register to vote?
No, I understand. You're trying to defend yourself.
I never registered to vote.
So you never voted. You never registered to vote.
No.
And so your advice to others is that stay away from the voting booth because
I'm not saying that. I'm only speaking. I'm just saying that who is worthy truly to be voted for. Now, you know, they vote for Reagan. They, Jimmy Carter, mm-hmm. Roosevelt, Harry Truman, mm-hmm. all the way back to Abraham Lincoln. You know, they all voted him in, right? Okay. All the way up to Barack Obama.
Okay.
I don't see, and I'm not just talking about presidents. I'm talking about their staff. I'm talking about the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
The judges, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The whole system must be stripped of corruption. It's like if you got roaches in your house,
mm-hmm.
you got to use that stuff that they can take back to the nest, and it kills the nest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm talking about the complete, the Pentagon. I'm talking about every corrupt person, whether they're in corporate America, universities. I don't care where they are. In churches, you've seen the movie that just came out, Spotlight.
No, I'm in the
dark.
I'm
talking about ridding the country of corruption.
So,
let me ask you this. National Guard, Army, Navy, rid the place of corruption.
Okay, allow me in that.
Fraud and perjury.
Hold on.
All I'm saying, man. That's the origin of the problem.
Could the a vote?
The medical world? Okay, okay.
I can't, hold
thing.
On, stop.
One more real
No, stop.
Okay, stop. All right.
This is like a chicken's pecking over corn that's been spilled. Is this a conversation or are we just going to hear you just run on? So here's my question to you.
Yes, sir.
Could a vote, the voting process, be that so-called chemical or inoculant that they carry back to the nest? Could it be that you have the power, but you've disenfranchised, discouraged, and that you're just going to give up? So the best thing that happens now in your life is to go out there and convince others not to participate in the system because you never registered to vote, you never voted, and you never found anybody to vote for. Don't you think you being kind of a disruptive in a sense have some response?
Do you believe
That sentiment that you are projecting out, overtly talking, speaking, presenting now, is something that may be contributing to the undercurrent of where others are disenfranchised, feeling that they shouldn't because they might listen to you and others of your ilk, and then adopt the same stance, and then we have chaos? Could it be? Would you say that you might be responsible for some or this kind of discussion, might be responsible to discourage others?
No,
okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
There might be a lot of others who really want to vote for somebody too,
mm-hmm.
but think in their heart, you know what? I don't feel like participating in the great deception.
Okay. Well, you're always welcome to call the show, but just understand, I wanted to define that because so often we hear people call up and they got great advice, but they never even participated. So what the hell are you talking about? What are you complaining about? I mean, it's like, how much stock should we put into what you say if you never even bothered to approach a voting booth? How?
Okay, let me ask you this then. Do I have to put my hand in the fire after I've been told? If I put my hand in the fire, it's going to burn me?
Yeah, I want to see blisters. I want to see the hands of a man and a woman that go out and fight for the American cause, in my opinion. Personally, you ask me now. Yeah, I want to see your hands burn. I want to see some blisters.
No, okay, let's go further.
I want to see scars.
If me and you are working on a table saw, and I say, Mr. Cox,
right?
I know somebody that got all of their fingers cut off because they was about to do what you're about to do on the table saw. And I say, well, stop what you're doing right now and don't do what you're about to do.
And you know what I would say? Well, we're fortunate. It's one more person who won't be able to stick their fingers in your face again.
No, man, I want to live. It's better as a living dog than a dead lion. Right?
Hold on.
I want to live to possibly be part of the solution. But
we live
in a vast universe. And in this universe, we have very little control of the real truth.
Hold that thought. Hold on.
Yes,
let's share the air with someone else. But you and I got to talk because my goal is to say to you, get back into the system or get into the system because you've never been in. Hold on.
Okay.
Caller, thank you for waiting and calling. Thank you.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, you're sticking up your time?
No vote, no grumble.
Pardon me?
No vote, no grumble.
Okay.
You're taking up. You're taking up time.
Go ahead. Don't
burn smoke. He's there. He's the one solution. He's the problem.
Okay. So we're talking that voting. So the way it is, huh?
Well, I guess no matter what you say, no matter what you say, it's going to be that way.
Who's going to? Why are you going to participate in corruption when you know corruption is a major problem for not just this generation, but the next and the one before that and the one after that?
Then be part of the solution, man. Otherwise, no thought. You want
the solution is to get the corruption out.
What corruption? People like you? People like you are corrupted.
Oh, really?
That's right. You tell me? Show you somebody to vote for?
There is none.
Well, then stop talking about it and you get on the wagon. What's your name up for election? What the hell are you talking about? If you think you got the solution, put your name on the table too.
You can't even agree that the fact that
You don't know what you're talking about, man.
The government and the corporations are all corrupt. You can't even agree with that.
What do you mean I can't agree? I've been in this for a long time, and I know what I'm talking about.
I'm not your problem.
No, you are the problem. You're not my problem. You are the problem.
So
you're schizophrenic if you believe that.
Well, now let's not go pegging people because I'm sure there are listeners out there going, man.
I'm
going
to listen off there, man.
All right, well, feel free to call back, but just understand, I want to see you at the voting booth. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, that's all they're doing, just doing smoke. You got to be part of the solution.
And that's what we need. I mean, I think voting
exactly.
is, you imagine all the people that struggle to vote, and then we have some people say, well, I don't vote. I don't do this. I don't trust
anyone. And try to tell us what the solution is?
Yeah.
If you think that person is not capable in office, vote him out.
Vote him out. Be committed to that, right? And appreciate the voting system.
That's right.
You know, there's a bona fide concern, and there's some misplaced concerns, because if you've never been in the booth and you never registered,
then you are of no concern.
I don't know, but we have to respect everybody's approach and opinion, but it's up for discussion.
You're doing good. Keep it up.
All righty. Well, thank you. Thanks.
Aloha.
All right.
Aloha. And have a good year.
All
aloha.
Right. Oh, yeah. I hope to. Thank you. So, guys, when we talk of hope, you can appreciate what's going on this effort to talk about things. But, you know, feel free to call up. I don't have, but just understand something. If who you're dealing with at this end of the microphone. I love this country. Whether you like what we've done, where we go, I don't care. I just love America because that's what I do. And I have my reasons. And I've had some hard times and some ugly moments. And those moments are only just a spurt in my life. So I can tell you, you know, I was on my way to the studio this morning and we're in this clash about religion and don't let the Muslims in and the Christians and all, and I just have to remove myself, like the gentleman said, in the participation in the voting booth. I don't go to church for many reasons, and one of those reasons is I just have to tell you that is that when I grew up, we had black people in black churches and white people in white churches, and we learned to pray in their fashion, but we weren't allowed to go to their churches. So for me, as a child, I had to draw a conclusion right then and there. This isn't heavenly. This is a hellacious approach to something when something is supposedly so good, like Christianity. and then you define it and you deny me the opportunity to sit next to you in a pew. You know, so not up for discussion. That's just what shaped my mindset. But when it comes to America, it's got many flaws. But I know that I've been to other countries, and I know what happens. And yes, we have the SS here, too, that go out and the Ku Klux Klan and government and the FBI, and they listen to you trying to figure out who you're having sex with or what you ate for breakfast, and the terrorists are able to walk through the back door. That's okay, but still we're a nation of people that I believe if we acknowledge our wrongs, we can right them. And if we do that, that's a good thing. It's when we're reluctant and start attacking one another about religion and race and all, then we're screwed. It would be just like any other smoldering country. And so that's, it's in my mind, in my heart, what we talk about America. That's it, what it's about. And then, no, I'm not drunk, and I haven't drank the Kool-Aid. I have more stories to tell you than you would probably think I'm insane to say that I love America, and when you hear what has transpired in my life. But it's okay. But we are in a system. You can vote. You should vote. And if you don't vote, it's not a matter of don't grumble. It's a matter of you being disingenuous and not openly honest with people. How can you give a professional opinion or an opinion that people should listen to you when you don't even participate in the system? That is, in my opinion, and not to speak to the gentleman that calls in, I mean, appreciate him calling, but to me, that would be perpetrating a fraud, to pretend that you wouldn't vote for this, you don't like this guy, and these guys are corrupt, and all, and then turn around and you don't even participate in the system. I wouldn't know where to start. That goes for anybody, and many of you out there approach me in that same vein. I just can't bring myself to understanding the logic, or is it logic? Where does it begin? So that's the danger of having. And yes, the system is about as corrupt. I mean, one of the things I'm looking at here right now, I was looking at the Charter Commission. There's David Ray. He gets appointed. He's the chair now of the Charter Commission. The mayor appoints him. But also the council, the presiding of the chairman of the council, the president of the council also, right? And they get to name these people. And I just don't understand. To name this gentleman. And David Ray is, you know, he should not have been named, but he was named as chairman. He works for Coppola Management. You know, some of you might know that name. And Coppola Properties, a James Campbell company. So there's all kinds of things, and I understand what the gentleman is talking about and his concerns, and yes, they're true. They're out there. But this is why you don't walk away. And Coppola Properties, and a funny thing, talking about corruption, and sometimes it's not what they say and what they don't say. It's if you go to the website of the Charter Commission at the City and County of Honolulu, And you'll just see here, just real quickly, David Ray, appointed by the council on Resolution 14290 FD1. David Ray has a long, distinguished career in land use planning and development, both locally and nationally. From working as a development consultant to acting as a policy advisor to government, to working with one of the Hawaii's largest private landowners to develop the city of Kapolei, David has successfully worked on issues ranging from infrastructure and transportation plans, entitlements and zoning, environmental and economic impacts, and blah, blah, blah. David's extensive background. He was in urban planning and got a degree in that, a master's in public health, environmental planning and administration. David also has a long history of community involvement and support Hawaii's nonprofit community, including Historic Foundation, Neighborhood Justice Center, being founding member of the Kapolei Chamber of Commerce, And so I, you know, I don't know if this is corruption, but this gentleman wasn't Nestor Garcia receiving monies from someone in the James Campbell Foundation? So if Nestor was wrong for receiving or accepting, who's wrong for giving? So, but funny thing, they didn't name James Campbell in this write-up on the official website. But now there's a guy named Guy Fujimura. He became a member of the council of the charter, and he worked for ILWU Local 142 when he went to work for Love's Bakery. See, they even give where he worked at the name of the store. But you're funny how they didn't name James Campbell. It's just a very large land developer. You know, it's not in what they say, it's what they don't say. You can watch for it. So I agree with you, caller, on the part that the concerns or the resemblance or the vestiges of corruption. But how does it stop? It stops if we continue to be in hot pursuit. It gets worse when we decide to go home and go to bed. And so those of you that are going to go to bed, good night, sleep tight. For those of you that want to stay out here and fight the fight, let's take it on to them. Let's keep chasing them. You know, let's do it. But anyway, we'll be back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show. You can pick us up on streaming. And on Mondays at 6 o'clock, we go to John Nolan's show, and we talk there. And we have John is on from 5 to 7 every day. And then we have the morning show. You should tune in sometimes. It's kind of refreshing. And we'll talk later on carolcox.com if you want any of the information. Aloha.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Whatever you need.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for joining me right here at 1080 a.m. You can pick us up at carolcox.com, podcast. You can go back and listen to all the things we've talked about and on and on. Hopefully next year will be even a better year, and we clean up some more mess and just keep them, you know, keep them honest if we can't keep them in line. But it takes some doing, so don't give up. Anyway, just real quick, if you out and about and you see a blue Toyota, let's see here, let me get this. There's a Toyota 2004 blue Toyota with the license plate N as in Nancy, PW 514. It was stolen from or taken from the Aina area. And also, supposedly, there's a boat that was taken along with it. And that boat license number, the registration is HA, that's Henry Adams, HA6124. And on the side of it, it's Makana Ali'i. So if you see that, it has a kind of a small blue bimini or pilot house. So if you see it out there, call police at 911. But it's HA6124 is the number. And it's a current registered and all. So it was taken from Aina Haina. And again, HA6124 is a boat number. And the truck license plate is a blue Toyota 2004, and NPW 514 is a license plate. All right, guys. Okay, real quick, a public announcement. We have friends of the Gandhi statue in Waikiki here online, I think, and we'll see what they tell us about. They want to restore the statue there. Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Carol.
Yes.
Hi, this is Kim Duffett from the Friends of the Gandhi Statue, Waikiki.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good. Hope you had a good Christmas.
Yes, sir, I did. So,
great.
I got this thing about the Gandhi statue, and I've been down there by the zoo at the entrance, correct?
Correct. It's right by the beginning of Kapiolani Park.
Mm-hmm.
Under a banyan tree in front of the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And not many people know about it because it's so hard to see. It's a very dark patina. It's under the shade of the tree. And it could be a very prominent landmark for visitors and Kamaana alike.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a sculptor. I did the three bronze Hula Kahiko dancers in front of the Hilton Hawaiian Village. And I do a lot of patina restoration, and I noticed that the sculpture, the Gandhi statue, was so dark, and I made a proposal to the city and the City Art Commission, and they accepted it. And because it's it was given to the city back in 1989 by the Watermole Foundation,
mm-hmm.
and it's now the property of the city. So anything we do to it has to be done with the permission of the city and given as a gift to the city. So we're raising money, and we're going to change the patina from that dark black to kind of a natural terracotta, like the original clay that it was sculpted
cast
in.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the city, you're seeking and soliciting assistance, financial assistance from the public or private entities to restore this for this work?
I'm sorry?
To restore this, you're soliciting monies and asking public donations and what have you?
Yes, we started a GoFundMe campaign. We have a website, Gandhi Statue Waikiki, and there's a link there. It tells all about the project and what we're going to do. It's not just changing the patina. We're adding three plaques to the side of the pedestal to talk more about the story of Gandhi and the story about the statue itself and the sculptor. I had to find him, which was kind of difficult, but I finally reached him. He's a Shawnee Indian, and he created the piece in a converted Catholic church in Staten Island back in 1989. Mm-hmm. Traveled all the way to Hawaii to represent Mahatma Gandhi to Kamaaina and visitors alike. So it has a great potential to share more of the story. And right now there's no place to sit or spend time with the sculpture, so we're going to create a semicircular bench with a planter and landscaping and lighting, and it'll be a very pleasant place for people to come and stay and learn more about Mahatma Gandhi.
And what are you asking them? Do you need support for the city, asking the city to allow you to conduct this work?
Because it's property of the city, it's under the auspices of the mayor's Office for Culture and the Arts.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it clear that I needed to get permission from the artist, which I did, to change the patina, and they approved it. And so now it's up to us to raise the money and do the work. And our goal is, it's in two phases. And the first phase is to change the patina and add the plaques. And our goal is to do that by April 21st in 2016. That's International Peace Day. And so far we've raised almost $12,000. So
what is your target amount?
The first phase is $20,000.
Okay.
And so we have another $8,000 to go on that. And then on April 21st, we're going to kick off the campaign for the second phase.
Okay. And how does one reach you or the committee that's handling this? Who should they contact?
Can go straight to GandhiStatueWaikiki.com. That's the website.
Okay.
And we have an email address, GandhiHawaii@gmail.com.
Okay. And again, you are already pretty prominent. You have Hilton Hawaiian Village, as you say, the three Kahiko dancers, right? And what other sculptors? You have a couple others around?
Yeah, I did the sculpture of Alfred Apaka and Iolani Luahine.
Okay.
Also at the Hilton. I did the granite ring koi pounder in front of the Grand Waikikian on Ala Moana Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Fountain, and I did a Spark M. Matsunaga International Garden for Peace that's located in Hanapepe, Kauai,
mm-hmm.
at Storybook Theater. Spark was born in Hanapepe, so.
So you've done pretty good for the community, and so you now want to lend your ability to this, huh?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's great.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So, guys out there, if you want to pitch in, you heard him, go to the Gandhi Statue Waikiki.com and send an email to, I'm sure they can link there through the email, correct?
Yeah, on the website there's a link to GoFundMe, and mm-hmm. that'll help people donate. And there's some great premiums as well.
And your deadline, real quick again, so we don't that you the goal the date that you're trying to have all this done is
All the donations are tax deductible. If people want to use their donation as a tax deductible item for 2015, then it's good to donate before mm-hmm. the end of the year. But of course, any donations after that are also tax deductible, and relevant to the 2016.
And so that means you're a nonprofit, a 501c3?
We're under the auspices of the Maitreya Institute, and that is a 501c3.
Oh, the Maitreya, okay. Well, anything else? When you got 8,000? No, you got 4,000 now? Well, no, you don't. No, you got 12,000 apparently. You say 20,000.
Right now we've raised 12,000.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let's see. There's someone else. Maybe have a big donor. Hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment?
No, I'm not a big donor.
Okay. Well, you should be. We're trying to get some money for a good cause.
Well, no, I have donated my time to make this, to work with Kim and all of the other people to make this happen. So, yes, we are asking everybody to, no donation is too small. You know, whatever you have, the $20 bill you got in this morning at the ATM machine will do. Every penny. And again, there's no donation too small. And if you go to the GoFundMe page, there are T-shirts and other things that are gifts for donating.
Okay, all right.
And if you're a big donor, your name goes on the plaque forever because it's cast in bronze. So your name, if you have someone that passed this year and you wanted to make a memorial to them, their name would be inscribed on the plaque.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, are you needing anybody to support you in getting the city council or the city to...
Well, in March, with the new budget, we will need everybody's testimony in support. Yes.
And you're seeking some financial funding from the city or just authority or approval?
No. Financial, because the city has already approved everything.
Okay.
But we have to go back to the city council for the landscaping budget.
Okay.
And so that's when we're going to need everybody to come out. Right, and your audience will do that. They'll write letters of support.
Okay. So, Kim?
Yes.
You're ready to go, and you are what? What, you say you will start in early... What?
Well, the actual work on the Bikina we're going to be doing in April, just before April 21st, so that it'll be fresh and a surprise to everyone. We're going to unveil the piece, and as part of the budget, we're bringing the artist, Stephen C. Lowe, who... As I mentioned before, he's Shawnee Indian, and mm-hmm. he and his wife will be coming, and we'll get a chance to hear him speak and talk about, creating the piece and sharing his wisdom on that.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to sound like elementary, but for some of those people out there, I don't take anything for granted. Who is Mahatma Gandhi?
Mahatma Gandhi?
Yes. Who is he for those that maybe, I don't want to take anything for granted, that everybody knows who Gandhi is. There are younger people there. And then also, where exactly is this statue, the existing statue, located?
The statue is located right at the beginning of Kapilani Park off of Kalakaua Avenue. Just as you leave the business district of Waikiki, and you're looking at the ocean on your right. As you turn to your left, in front of the zoo, there's the memorial to the iwi, the Hawaiian bones,
mm-hmm.
right there at the beginning of Kapilani Park. And nearby to that is the statue of Gandhi. It's sitting underneath a banyan tree that was donated to the city of Honolulu by the people of India. And that's the main reason why the statue was placed there. Mm-hmm. Back in 1990. And Mahatma Gandhi is known throughout the world. He lived during the time of British colonial control of India, and it was through his example and efforts and speaking to the people of India about nonviolent protest as a way to make change through the world. Instead of immediately going to war or to violence, that peace and protest can be done without violence. And he did that through his teachings and his writings and also his example.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped India gain independence. He was a great inspiration to Martin Luther King and many, many people throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll definitely hope, keep our fingers crossed and hope that we get some support. You get the support you need. And again, go to Gandhi's statue, Waikiki.com, to the website and to look at the GoFundMe. And if you want to participate in further donations or what have you, please go to that website and contact them. Kim, thank you. And Marcia, thank you.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
All righty.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Have a great New Year.
Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, in spite of all Gandhi's teachings and so on for all these years, I don't think anybody's listening. Think of all the wars and the problems and the shootings and what's going on in this world. I don't see what Gandhi's statue is going to do here in Hawaii. In fact, I'm proposing to have a statue of Lenin since we... in the park, since we do have a lot of communists that live in Hawaii. Maybe we can form an organization
mm-hmm.
and collect some money and put a statue there.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty good idea. All the, what do you call them, communists down there? You there? Hello? Anyway, it's a joy to know you're with us, Ed. The day wouldn't be good if we didn't have your comments. So always feel free to call them, and it definitely adds color, if nothing else. And Mr. Gandhi shouldn't have had to participating in a effort to free the Indian people of the colonialist British. It should never have happened. Like early in the early hour, the gentleman was talking about how corrupt it is. And, you know, I think that, you know, like I've been taught here in Mississippi as an African-American, I think we all should just get over with it. Just let it go. It happened. It's history. Forget it, man. Move on with life, you know. Why do we need a Gandhi? Why do we need Winston Churchill? Why do we need anything? It was war. Let it be done. No, but... when we violate the human spirit and we assault that and assail it, you don't forget that. You're always waiting. If nothing else, if not out of revenge, or you're waiting to be forewarned and be reminded of what history does, and you don't want it to repeat itself. So for those of you, I just thought I'd say that in the closing year. You can't get over it. We shouldn't have to erect statues of people. You know, we shouldn't have to have the Martin Luther King memorial site and the statue and all of that in honor of him for fighting for justice, because that was inflicted on other men and other women because of someone felt that they were a lesser human being. So we all owe some responsibility to it. How much does the victim owe? Don't know. How much the perpetrator owe? Probably all. But anyway, we're going to start the new year off with a bang, and I'm cringing at all that effort we put forward in fighting and struggling to get the city council and the city to ban fireworks and all. They're back, seem to be coming back, and once again, they'll do anything for money, the city, government. I mean, there is a health risk. There's an environmental impact, negative impact. And we are deferring to the fact that, well, there's going to be lesser, but there's still gunpowder, there's still smoke. And that's what was hurting and causing people harm in the homes. and out in Mililani, if you can believe this, if you've ever seen a fog, and I'm preaching to the choir, most of you, but some of you new arrivals, or some of you that just stuck on stupid and calling it a tradition, you know, they, when Captain Cook came here, they didn't shoot any fireworks off, so I don't know the tradition. In fact, gunpowder wasn't even here until he brought it here, apparently. So, what happened? Who knows? But anyway, this is unfortunate, and out in Mililani, I was saying, we already have aerials going, and I mean, they're massive, loud. And so, when I read the paper, and I'm really probably never be forgiven for this, but I have a sixth sense of humor. When I see that one blew up in the face of a person who was firing it off in their home, I say to myself, well deserved, because if you're that dumb to put it off in a residential area with all the dangers associated with the fires, and possibly, if not hurting you, it will hurt someone else. So I think it's score one for the fireworks. Each time I see that, well, no, I don't care how well they're maimed or how bad they're maimed. I cheer, because you're not taking the health and welfare of others in mind. You're just selfish for what one split second, a bang, and a colors in the air. But there are health risks associated with it, and it's unfortunate. We fought cause it to reduce, and now the more permits and what have you being sold. And should tradition, or what so-called tradition, and I think that many of the people you're inviting trouble to start this debate about what's cultural. You know, you're here in America, and yeah, we have fireworks, but if it's starting to hurt and harm people, the lungs and the health, and many senior citizens or people with compromised immune deficiency systems, it's just wrong. And I don't care how much revenue we get out of selling fireworks and all, we should not have it. It just shouldn't be here. Not when it encroaches or impacts the life of other people. If you could use it in a bottle and isolate yourself, great. But when you let that aerial off, and I on an average, I'm cringing now and thinking, on an average year of celebration, I find 2 to 5 rockets on my house. And other neighbors and other friends tell me they've found rockets on that have been burned out and fallen back. So that's enough to cause you concern. But anyway, so be it. The city county needs some money, because they squandered the rest of it they took from us. So anyway, stay healthy, and wear an oxygen mask or something, and call your city council and tell them you ain't going to vote for them if that's what they think of you. But whatever you want to do. But anyway, hey, we talked about, I'm going to refrain and restrict myself to as much as this H-power thing. It's not that I don't want to talk about it. There's some news coverage coming out on it, and I don't want to blow the cover or speak ahead of them. So I'll just hold off on much of the stuff. But there is a final environmental assessment and for this photovoltaic building out there in State Environmental Quality Control Office now. And it's regarding the solar building, and out there near H-Power, it will be part of H-Power, and it's proposed by the city. The final environmental assessment was prepared and submitted to OEQC by the City Environmental Services. And there's some things, and I pointed out some of them. The solar building is being designed primarily to support a photovoltaic system that will power the H-Power facility. However, the FEA reflects that the city also plans to, for the area within the solar building, for white goods, recycling, refrigerant reclamation, and recycling. The FEA project, it projects that about 60,000 units, residential white goods, will be received annually at the solar building. The FEA explains that the purpose of the solar portion of this project is to comply with the consent decree and the city. But the problem is, the consent decree, there's not one single mentioning of white goods or refrigerators or processing them. So you see how they fudge the line? You can't give them a task and say, we'll be back to see it in, as it works. There's always some sleazy, underhanded, greasy palm approach to something. You just can't trust this environmental service. You can't trust this administration, city administration, to just take something simple. I mean, just the onset, if you know that they are required to build the building because they, the Environmental Services Department, failed to build a gas collection system to prevent the emissions and of ozone depleting or global warming gases or what have you that contribute to global warming. They failed to put a collection system in at the Kapaa Quarry. So that in itself is that that's their responsibility, that's their purpose, that's what they get paid for, and they failed to do it. They just didn't do it. And they're the environmental services, and they're supposed to be operating to protect us and to protect the environment. That's why we have them. That's why they're called the environmental services. But no, they violate it. So you shouldn't expect much, but at least, you know, once you get caught and you're getting punished, you don't take the punishment. But then, as the mayor said, this is a win-win situation for us because we now get to spend $16 million on it. And but they're saying they're only going to cost them to build it for $9 million. And I don't know the questions that I had answered. So they're required to build a minimum $16 million building. So why would the city hurry to build this thing and ask for the environmental impact statement, the final one, and claim that it's about white goods when the consent decree has nothing? It's not being honest, and it's just, once again, there's a problem. So, the city intends to, for Covanta, the H-Power contractor, to perform the work. At page 73 of that FEA, the city lists the permits that the city anticipates will be needed for this project, and correctly notes that solid waste management permit is required. And they did that, and they have an application to amend it, and they're modifying the permit. So, the city's going to provide land to construct it, for Covanta to use it. So here's what I would suggest. If you guys see the mayor and you see the managing director and you see the city council, try and engage them or encourage them to do an investigation. Now, I have, in fact, filed a complaint with the city prosecutor asking for a criminal investigation to be conducted based on the audit and information that I've turned up and what have you. So that is, there is a formal complaint, and I've actually filed that. Secondly, I've learned that the Honolulu Police Department is also looking into this from a standpoint of potential white-collar crime. So no promises, and I'm just a citizen making these requests and reaching out, and because I think what I have in hand, I'd love to close out the old year with a bang and a boom without the fireworks, so to speak. And I'd like to see the new year where there is a discussion of indictments and there's a consideration of subpoenas, you see, for these people who have, we've entrusted with our trust and our concerns and our well-being, and they're just being sloppy and very reckless and careless with their responsibility, just snubbing their noses at us. So the state health department, I filed a complaint, as I shared with you, on this matter, asking that the permit that they, Covanta, has filed and the modification of their solid waste permit, I actually filed a challenge to that, and I've learned that the State Health Department Solid Waste Branch has yet to review that application that they submitted. I'm thinking that they will have to, or obligated to at least, consider my points that I raised in my complaint to them. So we still may have hope, and if you, like I say, if you have the occasion to talk to your city council or make it your business to contact the mayor and all, and ask him to back off with this. There's no rush, because they're only required to build that building in by 2020. So if that's the case, what's the rush? And the rush is these guys that are inside of the city government are just simply handing over the entire process. You'd be, as the audit found, but you'd be equally bothered and frustrated by learning that even while the auditor was there looking down their throats, they were still behaving, and this as a product of that behavior. It doesn't faze them. This mayor isn't fazed by anything about ethics. He's ethically challenged, to be honest with you, because you can't find this kind of behavior repeating itself and availing itself just as it does. Everything about it. Covanta manages the H-Power. How on earth did they even get involved with the EPA process or the city process? That's a separate. The city was the offender. The EPA and the Justice Department was talking with the city. But then the city, while busy trying to beg mercy from the EPA and trying to in the consent decree and the punishment, is busy giving it to Covanta. Or should I say giving it to the people? You know what I mean. But again, and then to just reach out and grab it and allow Covanta to take possession of that contract without the necessary, they shouldn't even be involved based on this was something separate. Yes, it's going to be supposedly wedded up with the energy and production of energy, and they can use some of the energy from the photovoltaic systems to power the H power, then the remainder, I guess. Because when I say I guess, you try and read their records and you'll go away with a headache, because you, in one situation, I'll give you an example. I uncovered emails that say that Covanta is talking to the city. The city is asking if this is okay, could we build this building, something to that effect. And Covanta is saying, well, we're going to pick three or four companies, or they did, and we named them AMEC, RM Towel, and RM Towel, and AMEC Foster Wheeler. And they said, well, we're inclined to go, whatever what the contract was that Covanta was going to hire these people, the email speaks of that. So I decided, well, let me just look to see this AMEC Foster Wheeler. Who are they? Well, they are actually a company that is based in New Jersey. They're around the world. But Covanta, in 2013, purchased a waste energy plant from AMEC for some $48 million. Tune of $48 million, something near that. I don't have the specific numbers because, as I say, everything's so sketchy. But how is it that such a practice that Covanta could be even in there? And I scratch my head. If that's the case, the auditor, the report, even while the Amamiya, Roy Amamiya, is responding to the audit, preparing a response, and the mayor's shying away from him. You notice he's never showed his face with this one. But again, they're doing the same thing as the investigation is occurring, or they're sitting reviewing the final results of the investigation. So we need to see them just back out, I think, ask the mayor, because not because we, you and I, as citizens, want to meddle. There's no containment. There's this gaping wound, it appears, that just money flowing. And nobody in this city is willing or capable of saying no. And it's quite disturbing when you understand what the city is willing to do. And by handing it all over to this company called Covanta, and I don't know what it would cost or what would be the evidence to cause for a major criminal investigation, even from the FBI standpoint. I just don't know, but there's something wrong, folks, with this whole process and in your face, and we just can't afford the constant payment and oversight, the lack of oversight. So I had asked, let me just see here. Subsequently, this is my questions I wrote to the city. A July 31st, 2015 email from Amanda Hayasaka, Covanta, of Covanta to Wayne Hamada, who was at the landfill, right? Now, the Waimanala Gulch landfill, you remember that, how well it was managed. Well, the same guy now is over at managing the H-Power. And we know how great of a job he did there. Remember the medical waste and all that other nonsense and what have you? So, this is what they state, to Wayne Hamada, Manuevo, and others stated, quote, as requested, please see attached. They are emails with the amounts, first, RM Towel, second, AMEC, third, ACOM. Iris Terashima of ITS provided me with her amount over the phone. And then he goes on to say in that email that we've decided to, the closest one is AMEC Foster. And so they're saying to me in their questions that I ask the city, the contract amount for building the construction is $9.334 million. And I ask, and did the city officials have a role in selecting the company solicited for bids? If yes, what role did they play? And this is the city's response. The construction contract was a normal city bid procurement handled by purchasing division, Department of Budget and Fiscal Service. And the bid request was RFB ENV 902908. And I don't understand how they, in one sentence in the emails amongst themselves, are talking about giving a certain contract to AMEC Foster Wheeler, and yet saying we have here an actual contract. But we'll try and find out. I ask another question. Were other companies solicited for estimates in the PV building efforts? If yes, who are they? And when did they submit their estimates? If no companies were solicited, why not? So they tell me, see the preceding answer. And so I then ask them, were these solicitations consistent with the city and state procurement laws? This procurement was for development of environmental permits for the solar building located within the power facility. This is a responsibility of Covanta as per their contract. They are responsible for renewal of all permits related to the H-Power facility. And all permits related to the H-Power facility. But you see, white goods is not part of the contract. White goods, they don't have, Covanta doesn't have the expertise, doesn't have the equipment. But how did Covanta get assigned that? I know what they're suggesting is that, oh, that's the contract, Covanta is responsible, but it doesn't say they're responsible for taking care of the contract. That doesn't mean they get the contract or give it to their friends or whatever is permitted. So there are some real serious issues. What was the dollar amount each company submitted to in response to the request? please identify each company with the amount they submitted. This is the city the answer give me, and this is really bothersome. This relates to a Covanta procurement, and details would have to be requested from them. So in other words, they have a contract with Covanta that Covanta is supposed to take care of these things. Even though it's all about city function, you can't ask the city for this information. You have to go to the city's agent who's performing the work. Am I wrong to think that the city should be provided all of that information and kept abreast of all that information and through the public? Because Covanta is a private company. And Covanta has no obligations to, unless I'm missing something, to give me anything. So you can see the city's practice shields any cover-ups, wrongdoings, or corruption by telling me that I must go to Covanta and ask them for. So that's consistent with the earlier situation that I had, where there is one company that received metal, that is scrap metal, from Covanta's facility, from the processing and screening and what have you, and some of it is burned and some of it is non-ferrous, and it goes to this one contractor who is contracted to pay a certain dollar amount for each ton of this metal. Well, I had received information that this company in receipt of that metals were delinquent in payment and reimbursing both the city and Covanta, or reimbursing Covanta for the metal that it had received, and was somewhere in the tune of a couple million dollars. Now, I never got the factual amount or what have you, so I contacted the city, and they tell me, no, you have to contact Covanta and ask them. But no, you have to contact Covanta City, because it's a city contract, it's money's being generated, profit sharing as far as the sale of the metal, so therefore the city should know how much is being charged per ton, when and what amount is delivered, and what is due. But instead, the city says they don't have that information in the initial response to me. And so you and I, there's this layer of blocking, a curtain between you and the city and the truth. And this curtain needs to be removed. So it's a blocking of we are spending money, but the city doesn't know how much we're spending, because the contractor, as they put it, and they represent the city, says, well, we don't know. That's their purview. You have to ask them, but yet it's a city function. So something's wrong here. Something's terribly wrong. And you might want to follow this. I say you might want to, because this thing has been presenting itself in different forms, so it's not, don't come as a shock to your system. But you might want to start asking questions about this thing at H Power. And I hope that in the coming future they do their news article, and that they have the capacity of giving a bigger story and has a room. But there's just we can't afford this kind of behavior. And imagine you have this kind of behavior with our monies. We're naming people like David Ray to the Charter Commission, and David Ray was also involved in buying and wining and dining some of the council members and what have you. And so I don't know. I might take my buddy up on that and just not get involved anymore. Have to drive you nuts, man, just watching it unfold, and the Charter Commission and all of those people and all the panels. And he was right, the gentleman that called earlier, in part, some of that. It is so corrupt and so nepotistic, the amount of nepotism and from individuals or from groups, and I'll appoint you and you appoint him, and then you guard this issue and you watch the front door, and we'll invite others in the back door, and that's what we're really, our real government, you know. And I see that Duke Iona is breathing in the direction of, you know, threatening to or suggesting or whatever, stirring the coals to say that he suggested he might get into the city mayor's competition. And then there's Ernie Martin. Can we look for someone else? I think we can. Do we need to abandon this idea that, well, you need to be a lawyer to be in politics? You need, and my understanding, every time I ask the city a hard question or the state a hard question, it don't even have to be hard. I could ask them, what's your name and your rank? Well, hold on, let me ask our attorney general to see if I can, if I have to give you that information. Okay, thank you, Mr. Smith. You know, it's that crazy. So we need to possibly give consideration that maybe our demands and what we've been trained to expect, it's a lawyer, expect it's a businessman. Unless I'm wrong, and my assessment is that this is, I'm saying that it's badly broken, but it's perfectly run, then I need to shut up. But unless then, if I'm partially right, then I think we should start thinking about voting for people that have the desire to be in public service, that are committed to honesty. They don't need a big name, because you see what we got for the big namers. And maybe we need to start looking at our neighbors and drawing from the community and putting energy behind them and advocating for them or supporting them. Don't need a lot of money. We just need support. That's what we need. And I think we could clean the slate. We could clean their clock, to be honest with you. And getting a few people in, just from the basic levels of, you know, what's wrong with having a truck driver who's managed a truck, you know, what's wrong with having, it's part of his government. What's wrong? We can trust him. Because ultimately, you have a corporation counsel, or you have an attorney general giving you the legal advice, so you really don't need to have a law degree, because you got to ask yourself, to be honest with you, we have a right to start thinking, if a lawyer is running for office, it's all altruistic, or he's definitely going to be corrupt. Why would anybody come in and take such a job as this when he could make the same amount of money and a year's salary in one settlement, one case? You know, something, we have a right to start asking questions there. So if we continue to buy into this practice of belief that you got to be a lawyer or you got to be an executive of a property development company to be head of the charter service, then just go get a bottle of Vaseline and wait for each issue to show up and then just grease yourself down, because it's, that's basically what we're doing. We can say no. We can. And start looking in the communities for people that are volunteering, giving their all for nothing. I don't think they're going to get in there and at the bewitching hours and turn evil. We can beat these people back. I look at the Campaign Spending Commission website, and I tell you, forget the big business guys. Forget the money they're giving. I see unbelievable amounts of money donated by city employees or city appointees. Shouldn't we? I know as a private person you can give money. We can't tell you. But can't we take our law and expand it to say that if you are an appointed official, you cannot donate money to, because that's a lot of money. Go, I invite you to go to the Campaign Spending Commission and look on the standard reports or just any of the reports by name and by company. And you'll see, you will be astounded the number of city workers that give money to Caldwell, to Hanneman, to maybe we need to stop that, because basically, in other words, they're not hired for their quality and their education and their degrees and their expertise. They're hired and kept on because they give $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 or whatever. $4,000 is the limit per campaign. And I invite you, if you want to see something that'll make you queasy, go there and ask yourself, can a boss walk in a place and ask everybody to give them money in the private business? Or is it unethical? Or are you holding people accountable for their jobs, and they must, as part of their job, must donate to you, your campaign? It's worth asking questions about, but campaign spending is just Google Hawaii State campaign spending and type in Caldwell's name or any name, and then look at the reports of contributions and click on that, and you got it. It's not hard. So we'll see you next week, and thank you all for joining. Caller, go ahead real quick.
Yeah, as far as the year ending and all this, hopefully in the next year you'll be intellectually honest with yourself about the national politics also, and really see the corruption going on there. I know you nailed the Democrats here, but on a grander scale.
Well, Master,
it's happening all around. That's why that one caller was so disgusted. But yes, he does need to get involved.
Well, yeah, and I think you need to redefine how you approach people. You know, I don't have an
outlook. How was that? I just made a statement.
But no, but it's disrespectful. So, but anyway, I understand. I mean, if you see a snake in the grass, you see you call it what it is, snake in the grass. So I don't expect any
more.
Well,
like I said.
Like I said.
Intellectually honest.
Intellectually honest, and I would invite you to
call
just
it like
simply.
It is.
And what would I start with the national politics? Put me on the right track.
Oh, I'll give you one example.
Yeah,
look at Barack Obama coming out to Hawaii every year,
okay,
spending taxpayers are working money ridiculously.
Well, he came
Michelle
to see
Obama
you.
Doesn't want to fly a plane. This happened in the past.
Uh-huh.
She flies the own Air Force One
mm-hmm.
over
mm-hmm.
By herself, just burning.
Really? I didn't know she was a pilot.
Well, okay.
Yeah,
you can make jokes about it, but you know what I mean.
No.
The people know what I mean. It's wrong.
I know.
That's just one tiny example.
I know. You know, I should have given you a sheet for Christmas, but I couldn't get your name and didn't know what address to send it to.
Oh, that's real cute.
Okay, well, you take
cute.
Care and have a good weekend.
Yeah.
Aloha. Bye-bye.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.
This needs to stop. No mother should have to bury her child.
Neighbor Betty Jones, a 55-year-old mother of five, was accidentally shot and killed in the incident.